You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Once again, the Champions League dominates today's show. Craig will be here a little later on to reflect on Liverpool's 1-0 victory away against Ajax. But who would have thought we'd be starting with Real Madrid against Shakhtar Donetsk as Shakhtar Donetsk beat Zinedine Zidane's side by 3-2 as we welcome in Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol to the show. And what makes this result even more extraordinary, boys, is that Shakhtar had 13 players missing because of COVID, yet they were 3-0 up in the first half. Stevie, that first half performance from Real Madrid was one of the worst that I think I can remember from one of the big boys ever. It was so inept.
Oh, where do you start? I mean, clearly defensively, you talk about an absolute and utter shambles. I mean, even Varane, who's supposed to be the man there to organise them all, was caught out of position every single time that Shakhtar went forward. In fact, every time Shakhtar went forward, they looked as though they would score. They were actually unfortunate that they went 5-0 up at half-time. I mean, Real Madrid were absolutely atrocious. Nobody in the front line did anything to try and help defensively. In the middle of the park, well, there was just invisible. Casemiro, you wouldn't have known he was on the field. And, of course, in particular, the two centre-backs, Varane and Militao, were absolutely awful. As I said, you can only sum it up by saying it should have been five against a reserve team. My goodness, I think there'll be some harsh words in Madrid right now, and certainly tomorrow in training, and there should be a few looking in the mirror and figuring out where they played their part in this disaster.
On that point, though, Ali, they come into this game off the back of a terrible performance and a home defeat against Cadiz. So you think, right, that's the kick up the backside they need to go in there and wipe Shakhtar out. Yet that first half, just mentally, no one seemed to be there.
And that's the scary part for Real Madrid fans, Dan. You're absolutely correct. The fact that you lose to Cadiz in a manner in which you did, in where that game should have and could have been over after the first 20 minutes. Cadiz had 4 or 5 clear scoring opportunities. They score one, in the end they hang on 1-0. But Cadiz were the better team against Real Madrid, playing at home, and it didn't matter. Cadiz were far superior to Real Madrid. So you think, okay, well, that has to get the attention of the players. That has to get the attention of everybody involved with this organization, with this club. It's okay, all right, now we're going to start Champions League. This is where we thrive. This is where historically we've been the most successful. This is a moment of competitive pride. We have to show this. We are Real Madrid. We are playing at home. And then you watch the first half and you said, wait a minute, there was no reaction. It got worse. How could it have gotten worse? From the game against Cadiz. The game against Cadiz was terrible. This is terrible -1. To me, Real Madrid in the first half were just flat out embarrassing. The lack of urgency, the lack of intensity, how much they pass the ball side to side to side and side again and to the side again. Never really looking to penetrate. No movement ahead of the ball. No movement with the ball. And as it pertains to Eder Militao and Rafael Varane, they were missing their daddy. Daddy wasn't there. Yeah. Sergio Ramos wasn't there to hold their hands through the game. And so they can't think on their own. They can't tackle the ball. All of a sudden, in the first goal, there's a chance for Militao to tackle the ball. He doesn't tackle the ball. All of a sudden, there's a chance for Rafael Varane to cover the spaces that he needs to be in. No, he gets pulled out of position time and time again. So if Sergio Ramos doesn't play, does that mean that Varane cannot play? Does that mean that Eder Militao cannot play? Apparently not.
You know, a huge part of this has to go down at the doorstep of Zidane. Because as a coach, when you're playing against a side that had the problems that they have and they're coming in, you know it's the reserve team. You really shouldn't need to talk about tactics or any of the technical stuff or any of that. The only scary thing for a coach going into this game is that the players don't go complacent. And I think that's where, you know, it's one thing for Zidane to be cool and calm and collected and always looks as though he's in control. Sometimes you have to be making a noise. Sometimes you have to be going around, putting your finger in people's faces and saying, well, the one thing we have, if I was the coach of Real Madrid today, the last thing, the only thing I'd have been saying the whole hour before the game was, don't you dare get complacent today.
Right.
Don't you dare take your eye off the ball. That's the only thing I would do. I wouldn't be talking about all the other stuff. It's about do not be complacent. And that is down to the coach. And the fact that this team started and played the first half the way they did, I'm sorry, that has to be left at the door of Zidane more than the players.
Obviously, we're not in the locker room.
That's all good and well, Dan. And I agree with Stevie in terms of the mentality of the team. But how can you be complacent after you were played off the park by Cadiz? By Cadiz! This game should have been 4-0 after the 20 minutes in that game over the weekend. So there is no room for complacency here. There is nothing for Real Madrid to be complacent about, to be proud of. What exactly have you done this season? You just lost to Cadiz, for goodness sakes. So I understand where the criticism should be pointed towards Zinedine Zidane, but at some point you also have to say, wait a minute, if they didn't get the message after the game over the weekend, if Champions League doesn't get your attention, if the urgency of Champions League and what it means to this institution doesn't get your attention, then what does? What is going to get the attention of Luka Jovic? He is nothing more, and we've talked about this in the past, he's nothing more than a warm body out on the field. And you can say that about many players for Real Madrid currently, that they're just kind of running around looking like they're doing their job, but not really, and not truly engaged in what the task is at hand. This team right now is in trouble.
One thing from the Shakhtar perspective, which I thought kind of worked out pretty cool, was the fact that that late equaliser was disallowed. And as much as we moan about VAR, and a lot of people complained about it, obviously the goal was initially given, then rightly chalked off, Stevie. That's what it's difficult for people saying you need to get rid of VAR, the game has gone, when you see incidents like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, Dan, it's the nature of everybody that we only talk about VAR when it goes wrong, generally. You know, when was the last time we were talking about VAR the way we are now in the light of, that was a great decision?
Yeah.
And you're correct. It was fantastic. That's what VAR is all about. And even though there was VAR, I'm still thinking, wait a minute, this is Real Madrid. This is in Madrid. Even though it should be chalked off, there's still half a chance. But no, you're absolutely correct. And unfortunately, it's not going to happen too often where we actually say VAR was great. But I think because of what we've witnessed over the weekend, that's why it's sort of in our mind and why we should say, well done to the people behind VAR.
Ali, looking ahead to the Clásico, of course, the next game for Real Madrid against Barcelona. Big picture. If you're a Real Madrid supporter, there isn't really much optimism going into that game or pretty much for the rest of the season when you look at how drab and dire they have been pretty much for most of this campaign.
Right. And so we just said losing to Cádiz didn't get your attention. Playing in Champions League didn't get your attention. And so you have to believe that if you're a Real Madrid player, this is the last chance to get your attention. If El Clásico doesn't get the attention of this group of players, then forget it. Then both Zinedine Zidane and the players, not only do they have to answer questions, but in the case of Zinedine Zidane, you also have to say, Zizou, honestly,
yeah,
this is three games in a row in which these players have no urgency, no intensity, no tackling, no defending, no attacking, no creativity, no goals. So I just think overall, as they go into this game, there could not be a less ideal buildup for El Clásico for Real Madrid, which then tells me that then come the weekend, Real Madrid are going to be great. Because historically, when they've been down, this is how they bounce right up. But it doesn't feel like that. It really doesn't. You look at this team, and even when they're winning games, it's hard work. really hard work. Everything is so deliberate in the attack, and defending is a problem for them. And so if Sergio Ramos is not back for El Clásico, and I can't believe I'm saying this in front of Stevie Nicol, if Sergio Ramos is not back for El Clásico, then you look at that back line and you go, oh my goodness, these guys do not know what they're doing when Sergio Ramos is not on the field.
Stevie, even you with your anti-Ramos ways have got to agree with that.
I no question they'll miss him. I mean, because the alternatives are an absolute and utter disaster. I mean, what can they do? You know Marcelo's going to play left back, but we know he can't defend. He's fantastic going forward. Varane's really struggling. Another own goal in the Champions League. Mendy was absolutely awful. And Militao, I mean, he looked like a kid that had been thrown in at the deep end. So they don't have any options. You know, maybe Nacho comes in. But where do you play him? Do you put him at right back because you don't have anything else there? Or do you get rid of Militao and stick him in the middle with Varane? I'd probably do that. But my goodness, you know, choices and every single one bad when Ramos is not playing.
Ali, thank you very much. Stevie, stay with us. Just to emphasise how important Sergio Ramos is, for Real Madrid's last 8 Champions League matches, they've won 1 and lost 7 when Ramos hasn't played. This is the first time ever that Real Madrid have started a Champions League campaign with a defeat at home, and no team has lost its opener and gone on to win the Champions League. I tell you what, Real Madrid absolutely miles away from getting anywhere close to that conversation at the moment.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Attacco Fico's own goal was enough to see Liverpool beat Ajax by 1-0 in Holland. Craig Burley joins us to look back at this game. Craig, Liverpool lucky?
Well, I think Liverpool will just take anything at the moment, Dan, particularly a clean sheet, so because they're really struggling to get those. They're not playing well, we know that. I mean, when they took the front three off to make the changes for the rotation, they, you know, everybody was like, "Oh, they'd only had one effort at goal." I mean, it wasn't. I mean, Sadio Mane was the biggest threat. They weren't exactly tearing that Ajax defence apart. So, I don't know what Stevie thinks, but I just haven't. I know they've got injuries. I know they've got personnel out, particularly the centre half Van Dijk. But even when he was in the side, they're just so open at the moment, and teams are carving them apart. I mean, had they been more clinical, Ajax, then yeah. And on top of that, the keeper. if I'm the only one that's getting the heebie-jeebies when he comes out for a cross or when there's a strike at goal, I would be surprised.
Stevie?
I don't think they were lucky. Yes, it was a touch of fortune about the goal. And no surprise, I was concentrating mainly on the centre-backs. That's where my focus was. And I think they came out on top. I think Robinho looks as though he's played there forever, and he's a real calming influence. You know, I can remember Adrian making a save in the second half when he parried one when he dived to his left. But other than that, defensively, they got bodies in the way when they had to, and they closed people down as well. Yes, they weren't particularly brilliant going forward, but listen, even in that 18-1 spell where Liverpool seemed unstoppable, when they got to the final and then the following year winning it, they had some sticky games away from home where they struggled. So, listen, for me today was about a clean sheet, because usually Liverpool will score, and they got a clean sheet.
And they got a lucky own goal.
But
they got a lucky own goal, Stevie, yeah? Hence I asked you if they were lucky.
Well, also the goalkeeper made an incredible save from Salah. But as I said, you take it when it comes, Dan. They got a clean sheet.
But you accept it, yeah? You say they were a bit lucky. They're a bit lucky today.
They weren't lucky. How are you lucky?
Because they're
not lucky if you keep a clean sheet.
Because they win because of the incredible own goal that was going out for a throw-in. It's okay to say they're lucky.
Well, the other goalkeeper made shit, away you go. They're lucky. I tell you what, any team in Europe going away from home will take a clean sheet. So there's nothing lucky about that. There's a touch of fortune about the goal.
Good, there
Salah
you go.
Had a chance.
What's the difference
if you want to start talking about a team being more, you're talking about Ajax being more clinical. Liverpool were up there, they're in quite as much. And they weren't particularly clinical as well as Ajax. So they're not lucky.
But they had a touch of fortune.
You go away from home and keep a clean
touch
sheet.
Touch of fortune, not lucky.
With the goal, yes, correct.
Right.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Oh, yeah?
Not that you would know, clearly.
Okay, all right.
I don't know.
I don't know if you picked up on it, Dan. I know I've been off...
Rubinho at the back, Craig.
Was that the new signing?
Yes, yeah, you missed that.
Yeah, I've been off work a few weeks, so clearly they've gone out and they've got Rubinho in to play centre-back as well, but whoever the hell he is. But listen, Liverpool are not playing anything like...
Sorry, Fabinho, beg your pardon.
I was going to pick up on it at the time, but you were waffling on, Sir Fabinho.
No, that was Thomas. He was getting on my nerves.
It's a bit worrying when Fabinho is looking like your best centre-back without Van Dijk in the team, and that shows you his worth to this squad. And when you take him out the centre of the park, that's a big problem as well, even when Thiago's fit again, because... You know, he does a lot of work in there. I suppose maybe Jordan Henderson come in and can fill some of that void with his work rate. Football Writers Player of the Year last year. He's been in fits and starts. But look, there's no doubt about it. The league champions, when you start the season the way they have, you know, rugged against Leeds, hammered by Aston Villa, you know, dominated the game, but it was a draw in the Merseyside derby. Struggled again a little bit in this game. They were so open. They're not themselves at the moment. And for Liverpool, it's a matter of getting themselves through this period. There's no clarification yet, just unless I missed it, how long Dan Van Dijk is going to be out. And people are going to ask the questions. And when Alisson's out as well, can this Liverpool side cope? Because teams are going to start having more of a go at them, even at Anfield, domestically. When they see the team sheet and there's no goalkeeper... and no Virgil van Dijk, they're going to smell a chance. So we're going to find out if they can cope. The squad looked a bit threadbare as well. So clearly they're creaking a little bit at the seams at the moment. But they got a result in terms of this competition. That's all you can do on the road.
I tell you what they need to do, Dan. They need to make sure they don't use losing van Dijk as a crutch. You know, if the players go around and the staff are always going, well, if we had Van Dijk or if we had Alisson, you can't be like that. If you do that, then you're going to sink.
Yeah, I was going to bring
whenever,
that up.
Whenever
Stevie,
you lose a player, regardless of who it is, you have to get rid of it, forget it, and move on. Then you will be in trouble.
It was quite the opposite, Stephen, from what we saw in the press conference before this game. Klopp very dour about the whole situation. Wijnaldum saying we're still all devastated. It was kind of reminiscent to when Neymar got injured in the World Cup before Brazil got thrashed by Germany. Yeah. But you look at it, Stevie, and it's almost an excuse on a plate, isn't it?
Aye. No, you can't do that. You know, after the game, when he gets injured and then you find out, then OK, you say, all right, we're going to miss him. But then you move on. You don't start crying's probably not the right word, but you don't start bringing these things up when you're preparing for a game. You know, unfortunately, Van Dijk is not available. And as much as you don't like it, you've got to forget about him. Put him to the side. And that's the professional way and the only way to do it. Because if you don't, then exactly what you brought up about Neymar is going to happen. Everybody's going to be looking for a crutch and an excuse. And tell you, football players will look for a crutch and an excuse. I've seen it too many times. So they better move on quickly or else they will be sinking.
Don't start going about with all these T-shirts to feel sorry for Virgil van Dijk. You know, next time we see them on the field. We've seen that kind of nonsense with the modern-day player. Sure, it's not going to happen at Liverpool. But Stevie's right. We've played with players who, and let's not feel sorry for him is the wrong thing. We've played with players that have had challenges that's ended their career, right? There's been many of them. You know, Paul Elliott played at Anfield and there was the challenge with Dean Saunders. Went to court. He never played again. His knee was hanging. That's the kind of people you feel sorry for when your career's cut short. It's happened to many a player. We hope Van Dijk, like all the players that get injured, is going to be fine. Well, I just go backtracking that because it wasn't on at the weekend. How the hell did they miss that? I mean, that tackle, that challenge was a disgrace. And I heard a conversation on another channel back in the UK, not going to mention names, about, well, you know, should the best referees be back at Stockley Park now when they're making these decisions? What the hell referee sitting in VAR in the booth in Stockley Park looked at that challenge and didn't think to alert Michael Oliver that it was a red card? I mean, this is just incredible. I know I've gone off on a different tune here, but that challenge on him in the first place was a shambles from Jordan Pickford. However, you can't do anything about it now. Liverpool just have to pick themselves up. We know they're more vulnerable than they've been in the last, 24 months or so. You can see that in them, and they're going to have to get through this period.
Craig, as you're on it, and it's the first time we've had the proper opportunity to talk about it, we discussed a lot about the punishment that maybe Jordan Pickford should face. What do you think, retrospectively, if it was possible?
No, I don't think so, because I think that's a dangerous road to go down with challenges. It had to be dealt with at the time. If there's an elbow in somebody's nose or somebody's jaw off the ball, that's violent conduct. I mean, that word would go down as excessive force. And it was just a horrible, high, mistimed challenge. But I think if we go back and retrospectively referee all of those things, I think that's a dangerous game. What's more worrying, Dan, is that some clown, and I've used that word a lot over the last 18 months with referees, and you know I think referees have got a tough job, but I am absolutely amazed at some of the challenges that have gone to Stockley Park and nothing's been done about it. And it's just worrying that people, professional people in important positions, are looking at a knee-high, leg-breaking, career-ending challenge and say, nothing to see here, game on. However, that being said, I would not be looking to re-referee personally that situation. That should have been dealt with on Saturday.
Where does this put Liverpool's title defence, Craig?
Well, clearly, if you've got a missing goalkeeper and the best centre-half in world football out of your team for, it could be months, then it's going to be a huge problem. But we've already seen City, who I had down as league winners, and I'm not changing, they're fallible and they've not started great. And neither have the chasing pack. So actually, as I said earlier, if they can get themselves through this period, then they might not be in a bad position, because I've really been surprised the way some of the others have started. And I think that's taken a little bit of pressure off Liverpool. But listen, if they can win the league with missing a couple of their most important players for potentially 6 months of the season, I'll tip my cap to them, because that'll be a hell of an achievement.
Boys, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder, ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow, Europa League time. Be sure to join us. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Bayern kicked off the defence of their title in some style, thrashing Atleti by 4-0. Ali and Gab with us. Gab, Bayern are the best team in the world right now, and it's not even close, is it?
Oh, I don't know. They've already dropped points this season. So
don't give me that. You lose against Dortmund.
They certainly looked impressive. They certainly looked impressive against Atletico Madrid. They may well be. They certainly deserve to call themselves that since they're their reigning European champions. And look, we've said this before. The fact that they added depth before the window closed, they added five players in the space of 36 hours. I think that's going to be a big boost to them this season. Flick feels freer in some of the choices. They can overcome, for example, you know, Gnabry having to miss this game because of his test result. You know, he's got the luxury of saying, you know what, Alphonso Davies not really feeling it at this point. Let me bench him and give Lucas Hernandez a run. And I think these things will pay dividends down the road.
Ali, Bayern Munich are the best team in the world at the moment, aren't they? And it's not even close.
It's not close, Dan. And here's the thing. I understand where Gab is coming from because he has to defend the very long article that he wrote saying that Bayern Munich would be in trouble. Oh, my goodness. Sound the alarm bells. Well, do not sound any alarm bells, because if Bayern Munich continues to play at this level, you look at everybody else seems to be falling apart. Everybody else's roof seems to be caving in, whereas Bayern Munich says, you know what, yeah, I don't have to play Serge Gnabry if he's got COVID. Now, Leroy Sané, he may be injured. Well, okay, I don't have to play him either. You know what, I can sit Alphonso Davies. And the guys that come in and play weren't even guys that were acquired in the transfer window, were guys that were there available already. And so here's the thing. Bayern Munich is a complete team, a complete team from every single line, from the back to the front, through the middle, goalkeeper. There is balance to this group. There is a plan in place. There is organization. There is execution of that plan and that organization. And in the end, you also have individual talent that can take over a game like Kingsley Coman did today in the fourth goal, where he can score that type of goal. Or Tolisso, who's not a first-choice starter, can score the sort of goal that he scored today. Robert Lewandowski doesn't have to score, and they beat Atletico Madrid 4-0, and were very comfortable in doing so.
Kingsley Coman, superb today, as Ali mentioned. Gab, that fourth goal is something else.
Kingsley Coman, yeah, tremendous. I saw Joshua Kimmich, also tremendous tonight. Look, it's a big storyline, but with all due respect, you know, they beat Atletico Madrid. It's not like Real Madrid 1960 came back to life.
And what did Atletico Madrid do last year? What did Atletico Madrid do last year? They knocked out Liverpool.
Good for them. Last year was last year.
well, not really. Last year is still this year, the way it's going. It's the longest year ever.
But look, they laid down a market. I'm not surprised. They also beat Barcelona 8-2 last year. You know, this is a very, very good Bayern side. Look, I've said it all along. I appreciate what Ali's saying. I think it is important that Hansi Flick decided to, or was able to persuade the club to make those five signings, because I really think that's going to be a difference maker down the road this season. But yeah, if you want to crown him in October, go ahead and crown him. I think right now they are very, very well prepared, but there's still a long season ahead.
Ali from Atleti, what went wrong today?
The issue for Atletico Madrid is the conflict, the inner conflict of Diego Simeone and figuring out, all right, look, we are historically over the last decade or so have been a team that is difficult to beat, that is physical, that is tough, that mentally can get through difficult times in a game. And we're going to embrace the struggle and we're going to win a game 1-0. And yet you see the personality of this group today out on the field, and is a bunch of players, most of them, that want to play, that want to be open, that want to attack, that want to get stretched. And indeed, for a few minutes in the first half, they did create a couple of chances, and they did get open, they did get stretched, and they added numbers in the attack. Well, that's all fine and well playing against lesser opposition, but when you run into Bayern Munich and you turn the ball over in a bad area and you're open and you're stretched and it's not about speculating with the result and being organized defensively, and it's everything about, okay, how can we get Joao Felix on the ball? How can we get Yanni Carrasco on the ball? How can we get Renan Lodi forward? And all these things that we now see from Atletico Madrid that we didn't see in the past, well, Bayern Munich said, oh, yeah, Great. You guys are open against us? Oh, great. Yeah, super. We'll turn the ball over. We'll win it in a good area. We'll get after you, and you have no chance. 4-0. Good night, everybody.
Good stuff, boys. Thank you very much. It isn't bad, is it, when you take a look at Hansi Flick's record in the Champions League? It is quite literally perfect. 9 games, 9 wins, 34 goals scored, 4 conceded, though, which Gav is very concerned with. It's been the big story, hasn't it, away from the Champions League, the possibility of this Super League in Europe, apparently backed by FIFA. Jan and Gab here to discuss it. You know something is big when Gab writes an article where he's answering and asking himself questions. Gab, we've heard all of this before. What's different this time around, if anything?
Well, so I think what's different is the circumstances. And by the way, I mean, just to correct you on this, the two articles which came out and said this is happening, and both said it has FIFA backing, FIFA not commenting on it. And I think it's by no means clear that it has FIFA backing. But what's different this time, I think, is the economic environment around the world, in the sense that you have a lot of very rich people who have access to a lot of money, a lot of private equity money, funds. And they're looking around. They ask themselves, where can I put my money to make even more of it? And a lot of the global economy is tanking. And they see the entertainment industry as potentially recession-proof. And by the entertainment industry, I mean football. And they say, well, what if we were to go and get a chunk of that? And you also have a bunch of football clubs, big football clubs, a lot of whom, no matter what their bottom line profits say, are seriously starved for cash. You could make that point about Barcelona. You could make that point about Liverpool. You could make that point about Juventus. And, you know, you can go to them and you can get them to, you can get them to try to strike a deal. You can try to persuade them. And you have Real Madrid, of course, who I think Florentino Perez has made no secret of the fact that he's been pushing this idea for a long time. So I think we're at the stage where people are trying to put together a deal from the perspective of football clubs and, frankly, FIFA as well. Nobody wants to be left out of this if it happens, but nobody's going to come out and say, oh, yeah, this is a good idea. Hey, folks, let's all rally around and make this happen. And that's why I'm skeptical that it's going to happen. But, you know, as one executive I spoke to told me, if it is going to happen, it's going to happen now in the next 6 months, simply because of the global conditions.
Jan, do you like this idea?
I can understand the idea. I can see that from their perspective, what I want to do. But I'm just thinking, if one of my heroes, John Lennon, would be alive, he would probably make Imagine with another lyrics. Imagine if some of these clubs took the responsibility they have for all the other clubs, that they don't have money, they say. Well, they don't have money to pay the overwhelming transfer fee in the market now. They don't have money, they say. Well, they don't have money to pay the unbelievable wages. What about the small clubs who are now going bankrupt? We see that in England, they're starting slowly, one or two clubs going bankrupt. And I think that, imagine you start the other way around. Okay, you start at the top. I agree with Gab. They will all agree on it. I asked around. I've been around some of the big clubs now the last couple of days, and nobody wanted to comment on that. But I think that the thing that they, in this time, when there are no fans in the stadium, when there are clubs who are really threatening to go bankrupt, they start with this idea that only can feed themselves. And the point that FIFA is for it, who care? FIFA will be against anything that could crush UEFA, who have the great clubs of the world. So that doesn't surprise me at all. The last thing they had a proposal, they had some money in the Arabic world, some in the East and whatever. I've been around these sports organizations. I can't say that word. So now I understand the idea, don't like it at all. Maybe if they start to take responsibility for all the smaller clubs that feed them through with their talents, maybe this could be an idea that I would and a lot of other people support. Now it's just greed, greed, greed.
Thank you very much, gents. For a lot more on this, be sure to download the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which drops on Thursday. We'll be discussing that at length. Also, Alex Kirkland joins them to discuss Real Madrid's humiliation in the Champions League.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Ali and to Craig and to Stevie as well. Stay tuned. No Extra Time is next. We've got Jan and Gab with us to answer your tweets. Welcome in to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Gab is here, as is a very smart Jan. Jan, you're very dressed up. Where are you?
I am in Amsterdam after being in Rome last night doing Dortmund against Lazio. Tonight I did Ajax, Liverpool, and then I rushed up here to the seventh floor in my hotel to speak to you guys.
Oh, wow, Jan. Stevie said on the show that he didn't think Liverpool were lucky tonight.
They were not lucky. Mm-hmm. I just had a privilege to talk to Jurgen Klopp. He didn't say they were lucky. He just said, I like these kind of SH... Why games?
Good, good. Because spelling it doesn't make it naughty, yeah.
I'm not naughty at all. But it just that some of these games they are to be won. Are you not allowed to say that?
I'm not quite sure spelling it really gets us around. We'll see. If they keep it in, they keep it in. I'm not taking responsibility for it. Jan, and you were saying you were at Dortmund 24 hours before that for the Lazio game, obviously in Rome. They were disappointing, weren't they?
They were very disappointing. And like Fab said straight after the game, that there were people in the first half that were not on at all. I mean, our man, Erling Haaland, I guess he was the only one who could say that he was on target. He scored a goal and he had a couple of other chances. But the rest of the team, very sad. And Dortmund, not good. But Lazio, they impressed me. And Immobile, what a player. That is a striker union. I can look at a player like that all day long. The calmness he's got. That goal after 5 minutes. He just like it's a normal day. Give me the ball. I will score you a goal. 36 goals last season. Now he's starting in the Champions League as well. Fantastic player. Lazio, be aware of Lazio. They can go further in this competition. Although they lost 3-0 against Sampdoria the game before. So it's a funny old game.
Gab, are you jealous of Jan's gallivanting?
And the fact that he got to see Ciro Immobile in the flesh, I do miss a little bit of the travel. I think it must be the incredibly expensive insurance policy on me that keeps the company from sending me around the world. But he made a really good observation on Lazio. I thought they were outstanding. I was really disappointed in Dortmund, especially after he rested all those guys at the weekend and then realized that he needed them. And then he sends them out and they were still very, very poor. And I also want to highlight, though, for Lazio, you know, they were awful. I mean, they were really bad against Sampdoria and they were great here. And I mean, shout out to Luis Alberto with some moments of skill. We saw many, many more goals and great goals on Wednesday night, but I think Tuesday night, Luis Alberto had to be one of the top three.
But I think if I may say, I think that the way Inzaghi, we talked to the Dortmund players after the game, and they were very impressed how how Inzaghi had organized their team. Dortmund felt it was difficult to break through in the way he organized it. And I think that was a very, very organized and a very disciplined Lazio team. I haven't seen enough. I think it's the first time I've seen her live for a long, long time. And they impressed me. And Inzaghi was a very lucky person standing in the flash after the game with a win against Dortmund, of course.
OK, let's get on with the questions, shall we? When will the crew start bashing Zidane like they do anything Barca or Ole?
I need to get my glasses on now.
There you go. I'm glad I don't work at Real Madrid TV anymore at the moment, because it's very difficult to put anything positive after their performances over the last couple of games. Gab, Zidane, why do you keep letting Zidane off?
Well, we didn't let him off after the Cadiz game. And the reason I didn't let him off is because, unlike these other people who you mentioned, the guy's actually achieved something. I'm going to leave aside all the stuff that he achieved as a player, because why go there? But the guy has won 2 league titles at Real Madrid. The guy has won 3 European Cups, or Champions League titles, as the kids now call them, at Real Madrid. That's why he's built up enough credit that you trust him, and you trust that he can go and make it work. And that's the fact of the matter, is if you have a resume, people will go and they will give you more time. If you're Ronald Koeman and you're Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I'm sorry, but you can't carry this guy's jock in terms of resume. Mm. Now, all that said, when Zidane makes mistakes, and I think inevitably some of the choices he made tonight didn't work out, when he sends out a team that looks entirely unprepared, like they did against Cadiz, yeah, of course he deserves criticism. He deserves a lot of criticism when that happens. Nobody's giving him a pass. But, you know, we need to see more than one stinker in a row, or in this case, 2 stinkers, before we start going and giving him a hard time, precisely because he has built up all this credit. And he didn't build up all this credit 20 years ago. He built up all this credit last year when he won La Liga. Or rather, he continued building his credit last year. Obviously, he had it from before. So it's as simple as that. And you know, these people really, really bug me when they're like, oh, why do you have a go at him and not at him? Well, you know what? There's usually a reason.
Wow. Okay.
But I think, just to strengthen that point, I mean, I agree with what's been said. I mean, but there are so many lazy football pundits around, because when Real Madrid win a title, people say it's because Zidane just let his players play football. When he loses games, people say it's just because he let his players play football. So we kind of find a middle position. So we never give him credit for the wins, and we never give him credit for the losses. And I think that is the sad thing. And then another sad thing, when I saw that result today, I just followed that on live update, of course. They were 3-0 down to Shakhtar Donetsk. I'm thinking, this Super Galacticos Premium University kind of league that the big clubs want. I mean, this is why they want it, because they don't want to lose against Shakhtar Donetsk. They just want to play each other. They want that American thing that you can never lose game, that you can only keep on playing all the time.
Next question is a good one. At this point, would you put your money on Bayern Munich, Jan, or the field?
Or
anybody else? Bayern Munich or anybody else?
Well, I'm not a gambler. I mean, that is a bad gamble if someone said, I'll give you 100 and I give every other team, because you know the Champions League is hard to win. But I think that result today and tonight, that is a massive one. Remember, they have Gnabry out with a corona test, and there is, I mean, any team then will think, well, what's going on here? Will there be other players? We could be insecure. We're playing against an Atletico Madrid team who is always so difficult to beat, and Bayern Munich winning big. And very, very impressive. I will say they are the favourites to win it. But would I do a bet saying that all other teams can't beat them? Of course they can. But Bayern at the moment, I can't see a lot of things they do wrong in Bayern at the moment, both on management skill. There was a big article in Sportbild this week and just show you how they were doing their recruiting. When the experienced players comes up to Salihamidzic, Rummenig and the rest of the boys, and they say, listen, we're a bit worried that our squad is not broad enough. And then Salihamidzic is presented a shadow team that he has built up with different alternatives, if not the best players that he had on his list would succeed to come there. Compare that with some other clubs in Europe at the moment, and it's like unbelievable the space between Bayern Munich and a lot of the other teams in terms of recruiting as well.
Sticking with Bayern, Gab, did Bayern clone Thiago and make him Kimmich?
You know, Kimmich had that in his locker before. I mean, Kimmich is really, he's really a remarkable player. Going back to when he was younger, when, you know, he played in midfield, this guy's played center back, he's played right back. But he has that range of passing in the middle of the park. And I think in the past, he was probably penalized a little bit by his versatility, by the fact that, you know, he's not a big fancy signing from Barcelona the way Thiago was. I think he's a different player, but he certainly has the ability to hit those defense-splitting passes, and is just remarkably consistent and reliable in there. I think very few players are able to combine what we in Italy what we call quality with quantity. And certainly, you know, in his position, Kimmich, I think, has got to be one of the best around.
Do you only say that in Italy?
Well, it's an Italian expression. I haven't heard too many Anglo pundits go out and say that. I don't know. Maybe you can tell me the last time Craig Burley saying, he's got quantity and quality. Is that... Or Stevie, I don't know. Have you heard this?
I don't know, it's got a lot of syllables in
it. Is that a typical?
It's got a lot of syllables in for them. Jan, why have Dortmund not sacked Favre and gone for Pochettino already? They always seem to falter against the top teams. Something Pochettino would sort out, and he's good with young players.
Well, Favre is not bad with young players either, is he? He has developed some good players, attracted some good players, but it's a fair point because there is a limit where you will think that Favre can't take this club any further. And sometimes you feel that. Sometimes also you feel that he is a victim of the philosophy at the club, and I say that in a good way, because if you see the way they are getting players in, if you get your Reina in, they will say, well, you will play there, and Bellingham, you will, we have promised you, you will play in the Champions League. Maybe that was not the best selection last night to play him in the starting 11, but you develop him into a better player. In terms of Pochettino, I think that, I mean, the Germans, they are a bit conservative when they got to get coaches in. Yes, Pochettino is very good with young players, but they sent like for example in Schalke, they were like taking a typical kind of boring German coach. I'm not saying he's bad, it's just like a boring signing. So sometimes the Germans are a bit afraid of doing those kind of things. What is worrying with Favre, I think that is plan A is looking quite good. But is plan B, well, does he have a plan B? And I think that is the big challenge now with Dortmund. They don't seem to getting closer to Bayern, just times and time spells in the game. So it's a bit worrying time. I can't see him last long there. Will he end the season at Dortmund? Yeah, I got a feeling he will. But you never know. You have Matthias Sammer, you have Sorg, you have Sebastian Kehl, quite profile player. People around him, so maybe suddenly they will say, we'll do something else.
Jan,
Dan, just in the back of that,
yes,
you mentioned the brain trust there, Zammer, Kale, and Zorc, and we've all praised them for their incredible recruitment and bringing in all this young talent. The question I would love to ask them, and Jan, when you bump into Seb next time, please ask him, or Matthias, you have a very, very good center forward named Erling Haaland. You don't have a backup center forward. For all your recruitment, all your balanced squad, when Haaland doesn't play because he's injured or because he's being rested, like we saw at the weekend, you have to play Julian Brandt up front, which becomes a completely different team, and it simply doesn't work. And I know, before you bring up Moukoko, let me remind you, the guy's 15 years old, 1-5. Did they not think about this? Hey, maybe we could use just a body to go out there and stand and do the same runs that Haaland does, just not as well and not as effectively, so that we don't have to radically change the way we play whenever he's not there.
And I guess this weekend, Gab, it was a bad day for the striker union, because when we started the game, Dortmund playing without striker, RB Leipzig with all their strikers playing without strikers, it was a bad it was a bad day. But Fabra sometimes tend to like that, to play without that kind of striking role. And sometimes I think we're always, when you have strong personalities in and around a team, but it's a decision of the managers. And I heard the stories about them being not 100% agree on what kind of players they will bring in. And sometimes we have to defend them as well, because which striker can you bring in without Choupo-Moting? He can always be brought in as a player who just plays when Lewandowski is not playing. So it's maybe hard to find that type of player. I try to defend Favre now because I 100% agree with you, Gab.
I don't know why Gab's having to go at a 15-year-old. Gab, that's a new low for you. Jan, how far do you think Manchester United can go in the Champions League this season? Jan, normally we have you on to defend Ollie when we're all going, he's rubbish, he's out of his depth, you know, he's just because he's a Manchester United player. You get to wallow in his great victory away against PSG.
Can you believe it? The players, they were running, they were fighting, they were winning for their manager. You know, Bruno Fernandes apparently was against and he's his own manager, and he said it in the media. Of course he didn't. This is just what you spin up when a manager starts losing games. It's like if you saw the press conference of Klopp yesterday, how annoyed he was on all these questions about him getting in a replacement before Van Dijk even had left Liverpool to get his treatment. I think that Ole Gunnar will stay. He has got a fantastic skill of winning games when he needs to win games. Do I think they will go very far in the Champions League? No, not at the moment. But you are seeing when they are building up that kind of self-confidence that they got away at Newcastle and now in Paris. And Paris, you correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was the first group stage home game they lost since 2004. Yeah. So it's by all means a great, great result for Manchester United. And again, Paris indecisive for Ole Gunnar.
Yeah, PSG were terrible though, Jan. And if they lose against Chelsea at the weekend, you're back to square one again.
Well, math in football, Dan, that can never happen. You're Sampdoria winning 3-0 against Lazio, Lazio beating Dortmund, and so on and so on. So math will never do it. This time, we have to pray Manchester United for winning a game away at PSG. That was a great, great result for the Red Devils.
It's another question for you, Jan. Take that, Gab. After arguably being the best left-back in the world last season, why is Alphonso Davies no longer starting for Bayern? Is Hernandez really that good?
Is Hernandez really that expensive? I think we should
World
start
Cup
there. but first the young Canadian just took the team to the treble last season, and now they're using their 70, 80 million euro player. I think this is a normal thing with young kids, and I think that is a luxury of clubs like Bayern Munich, because they can use, like Dortmund as well, they can play them and then they can take them out to the limelight, it's the word, for a while, and then get them hungry again, calm them down. In Hansi Flick, they got the best manager to do that, and I don't think this is any spectacular. But Davis, I mean, maybe the best left back in the whole world last season, he will get his games, but I think it's a good way to kind of take them a bit in and out of the team. As you know, every football player and every young player wants to play all the time, and I think then some coaches need to be adults then again to take the heating off them a bit.
Right, Gab, rank these four strikers in their prime in order. David Trezeguet, Pipo Inzaghi, Hernan Crespo, Gabriel Batistuta.
All right, I'm going to put Batistuta at the top because he's the Lion King.
You can make it quick.
I'll go Batigol and then Crespo, Trezeguet, Inzaghi.
Jan?
Well, I will put Inzaghi in number three because he was that kind of... this kind of snake, and I also saw him yesterday, so I have to give him a bit credit for that. But Inzaghi was that kind of striker who was always just floating around, and then suddenly, bang, you scored a goal. I love that kind of striker.
So what about the others?
No, but I agree with Gab. I think. Batistuta was more. Lion King is a good word to describe it. Batistuta had more skills than an Inzaghi. He was more the all rounder. He could get the ball and remember scoring so many goals that he did in those days. I mean, it was not like the attackers were protected like they are today. And the way he did it in Serie A for Fiorentina was second to none. I used to love that player.
Jan, how's life now that you don't have to report on Sancho to United?
Oh, isn't that on again this winter? it's been calmer, of course. I also see that the Manchester United fans are very happy that Sancho's not playing well at the moment. And he hasn't. But it was funny. I just have to find a way. I was with Dortmund last night in Rome, and let's put it this way. I had a very interesting conversation with some management there. So, but I have to wait for that information till things calm down a bit, because I'm not sure that Manchester United fans will like it.
Oh, what a tease, Jan.
Yeah, oh. I know.
How are we going to sleep tonight? Right, final question for you, Gab. How embarrassingly bad is the NFC East? Who's in the NFC East, Gab? You've got, obviously, the Eagles. The Cowboys are there as well.
Yes, the Washington football team.
Washington is high.
And the New York Giants. And they're basically, all right, the last two teams, Giants and Washington, are absolutely appalling. And, you know, an argument for relegation from the NFL. The Cowboys are yucky and disgusting. But they were supposed to be good, but they're going to be really bad because, unfortunately, Dak Prescott, well, unfortunately for them, and for him, Dak Prescott, who's their star quarterback, got injured. The Eagles are pretty bad as well. But you know what? I think this is definitely looking like one of those seasons where you're going to win the division with a losing record.
Wow. Jan's had enough. He's gone. Thank you very much then, gents. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.